You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Janet Biggs. Janet, thanks so much for being with me today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you for inviting me back.
So, Janet, we're going to talk about your show, Path of Totality, at Kristen Tierney, and of course, we're talking about video installations. To begin with, of course, we're talking about your travels as we have before. Can you tell me a little bit about that, just to jump into that for everyone, how place and travel is so evident in your work, right? In terms of where you're actually going to. Can you tell me a little bit about that? We could talk about how you're choosing those places, but just again, how travel is so central to your work.
It absolutely is, as well as researching those places that I do travel to. I think, I am endlessly curious about other people's existences. And I think that when faced with something like the extreme, and the extreme for me can be both a landscape and a situation, I really think that sort of, it tests your mettle. You become more of who you are. And so I'm particularly interested in traveling to extreme locations or identifying extreme situations and as a way to witness the existence of others. And I know that, trying to understand the existence is an impossibility, but I do think that witnessing is an essential part of existence.
And in this show, there's new installations, of course. So let's jump into them. This is the title of the show is Path of Totality. There's an installation about the Amazon here, which seems to me to be one of the more difficult places on Earth, depending, I guess, where you are in the Amazon. But I know this was also put together differently than your other work, right? We're using archival footage in here?
Yes. Actually, not archival footage. There's a bit, but I have to qualify that a little bit. There is not archival footage. There are archival documents that exist in the footage that I filmed. So this project, which has become a multi-year project for me, was really a journey to place myself into multiple paths of totality of solar eclipses around the globe. And the impulse started, in 2020 from a very personal experience. And then, as I said, research is an essential element to my practice. And as I was researching total solar eclipses, I came upon a document that was by Lieutenant James Melville Gillis from 1859 that's in the collection of the Smithsonian. And it was called An Account of the Total Eclipse of the Sun. And it was really striking to me for a number of reasons, one of which it was 2020, and this was an account that documented the local population's response to a solar eclipse, that talked a lot about fear of a plague being visited upon them. And during 2020, that resonated in a big way during the shutdown. There were other instances of why it felt so relevant. I was looking at colonial histories, and this was, an example of a documented history that was very much from a specific perspective, not one of the local people. I think back to witnessing, that's a complicated position, yet again, one I think is pretty important. So for a lot of reasons, that document felt really relevant, and I decided that I was going to trace the path of this total solar eclipse from 1858, which happened to go across the Peruvian Amazon.
And that's kind of an extraordinary place to be, right? I mean, even the way you're approaching it, the Peruvian Amazon seems to be one of the few places on Earth, and I don't really know, but one of the few places on Earth that hasn't been overrun by tourists, let's say. I mean, it's more remote than most, right? I mean, of course, there's the Arctic and more, but the Amazon seems like one of these places that people go to and often can't do the trip that they wanted to do, for example, because of the difficulty of moving through there on a number of levels.
And for good reason. I mean, one of the things that I was extremely aware of was that, this arguably the Amazon is the lungs of our planet, but everything in the Amazon seems to want to kill you. And so, you're trying to follow a path and there is a massive spider in the way of that path, or there is, a little a small frog that's like the size of my fingernail that can kill 10 people. And the plants are struggling for survival. It's just a really visceral place to be. Following, this notion of I'm going to follow this eclipse path, there were variations to that. I also took some artistic license because I was filming. And I was at the headwaters, which is an extraordinary place to see. As you said, this is not a place that a lot of people get to go to witness.
Yeah, absolutely. But this in terms of the Amazon also, there's a personal echo in here as well, right? In terms of your experience and association with Sundowner syndrome, this is something quite personal that also has a metaphor in here or a parallel.
And I do this often in my work. There'll be some very personal experience that inspires the project, and then it you know, so I'm kind of looking inward, and then I look outward. And the outward tends to be fairly expansive to, as I said, to these kind of extreme locations. But if it doesn't have the view inside to personal experience, I feel that I can't find an authentic voice with the project. And this one was my mother suffered from dementia, and specifically one of her symptoms was something called sundown syndrome. And that's when there are a number of things. I mean, people get very agitated at the end of the day, which is why it has that name. But it's this time when your body stops responding to the cycles of the sun, to circadian rhythms. And so my experience with my mother is in the middle of the night, she'd wake up and get dressed and she was ready to go to lunch. And I'd open the curtains and it would be pitch black out, and say, "Where it's the middle of the night." And she was completely unconvinced. She was sure that it was time for lunch. And after my mom passed away, I spent some time, as anyone that's lost someone that's really dear to them, wishing for a way to reconnect. And somehow I thought that, I mean, a romantic notion for sure, but that if I place myself in the path of totality, when the whole landscape and arguably the whole biome reverses day for night, that somehow I would find a connection to my mother. And so that's why this multi-year journey started.
The whole biome changing day to night, that's a really powerful idea, because this kind of a flip is really alien to all of us, and the way you describe it and I understand it, it's total disorientation, right? As it would be for anybody if our night and day were flipped, right? This isn't only if you have dementia, this would happen to any of us if things were totally flipped.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And I think they're, you know, terrifying, disorienting. I mean, there's a long history of responses to total solar eclipses that were violent. And, you know, and there's certainly still a number of people that I've spoken to that have a huge mistrust and would rather stay in and ignore any kind of solar eclipse because of, you know, fear of the unknown. And but I think part of my practice is that I seek out the unknown, and that placing myself on unstable ground is really essential to my projects, because it opens up new possibility and new, you know, it allows me to see in ways that I couldn't have imagined beforehand. So I really, I want that destabilization.
No, I can appreciate that and really understand that as the artist that you are. In Eclipse, there's also another, we're talking about Antarctica in here, right?
Yes.
You travel to the Chilean coast. And Antarctica always seems one of those places that really do seem to me, and it just the idea of it sort of disorienting. I don't know, the land there, it just seems like nothing else we've ever seen. Can you tell me a little bit about this? Because it also, when you went there, it wasn't as you thought, right? There was even
no.
just tell me about that, because that sounds exciting, and you worked with that as well, the unknown of.
Yeah, so that was the first total eclipse that I experienced after my mom's death and filmed, and I knew that there was this total solar eclipse happening on December 4th in 2021, which was still technically COVID shutdown internationally. And I had, in 2019, when my mom passed, I had sort of planned this. And, you know, getting to the Antarctic is not an easy task. And so, you know, I had made many arrangements for travel. And then with the shutdown, all those fell apart. And so the ship that I was supposed to go down on was canceled. I had to scramble and find a ship that was still traveling. And to get on board the ship, I had to go into quarantine. I was tested daily. When we finally boarded the ship to cross the Drake Passage and head down to the Antarctic, you know, we sailed under a plague flag because we needed to warn any other vessels that there was a possibility of COVID, of the virus on board. So things, you know, just from the get-go, the trip was not as I thought. And then, you know, then you go into this environment that is extraordinary. And just, I mean, really, to look at a tabular iceberg that is, you know, the size of a couple football fields just sort of floating by your ship is, it sounds corny to say that it is life-altering, but it really, it is and was. And so it was this intense experience to get there, and we were very aware of what the conditions were on shipboard. I mean, the reason the ship was going down, one of the reasons was specifically to view the total solar eclipse. So we're listening to weather reports, and we're frantically, you know, trying to get to a path where the sky would be open and we'd actually see the total eclipse. And we were in the Weddell Sea chasing open sky, and of course the eclipse happened and we were completely fogged in. And there was all the things that, you know, I knew, I remembered as a child from the first eclipse I ever witnessed. You know, all those things were not visible. So there was no incredible corona. You didn't get to see the planets in the middle of the daytime, like all that stuff was not visible. And I was really optimistic. So I am covered in GoPros in the hopes that I'm going to catch this. I've got two cameras going on deck of the ship. And there's not, you know, it's fog. You can't see a thing. You can't even really see your hand in front of your face, fog.
Right.
But what did happen which was really extraordinary in a very different way, is, you know, I became aware of so many other things, you know, of this enveloping darkness that just kind of came over me, and how cold it got, and what the sounds were like, you know, that these Arctic terns were frantically finding a trying to find a place to roost, because to them, oh, nighttime, you know, we need to roost, and the penguins were vocalizing, and it really changed the entire perspective on the video that I ended up making, and I shifted to using text and creating a kind of composite poem, which is relatively new for me in a video, and I mean, it really altered everything about that one experience and the project that it presented.
And among the text, there's also accounts from Eastern Siberia, right, that you were mentioning by the 19th century astronomer Gillis, I believe, right? That's that sounds fascinating.
So I excerpt from you know, when I research, it's really broad, and I follow a lot of threads, which is, you know, exciting and fun to do, and so I had a real wealth of perspectives and approaches and information that I'd been collecting for a long time. And then I also had my dad's journal that he kept specifically. I was looking at the dates after my mom passed away. I was looking at my journal. And so this composite poem did combine, you know, specific references to Gillis and partial excerpts from the text and the indigenous population of Eastern Siberia. And the very first text that appears in that video is actually from the Yakut of Eastern Siberia. And it's, when their breath froze, turning into crystals in the air, they called it the whisper of stars. And so it's, you know, without just compositing these references became this poem.
Amazing, yeah, and it does sound like, you know, it's almost like going to, you hear about people going to space and coming back differently. I guess it's something like that. I can't really imagine. I mean, I'm trying to from what you're saying, but Antarctica sounds like such a completely different world that the idea of isolation, which you're also exploring, is something that I would think is is otherworldly, right? It's like nothing we experience. In our home, assuming everybody's home is in Antarctica, right?
yes, and I, you know, back again to why I'm drawn to and why I find this kind of isolating and disorienting locations so appealing. And, you know, it's actually in this exhibition, there is a small case that's full of some of the documents that I collected and some of the research, some true, some fictional, but one of the things in it are three small vials, each holding a mineral, and I actually was able to send those up to the International Space Station in 2020 as part of a project through MIT Media Lab's Space Exploration Initiative. And so, you know, I look at those minerals that came back, the launch was right before the COVID shutdown. And then when they came back down to Earth, they were put in quarantine. And I finally got them back, you know, substantially later. And I look at those minerals and I think about, you know, what they've experienced. I mean, zero gravity, just things that are unimaginable to me.
Yeah, amazing, amazing. Janet, it's so great talking to you again, of course, because we did talk once before in March of 2021, and I'll also put the link here for listeners who want to hear that interview. I want to ask you one more question, a little off topic. What are you reading at the moment? What are you reading?
It's off topic and not off topic. I'm actually reading Samantha Harvey's Orbital, which is this incredible novel. It won the Booker Prize. It is just, you know, talk about a kind of composite poem. She narrates these experiences of being in space that are wonderfully imagined, and I recommend it wholeheartedly.
And that's Orbital by Samantha Harvey?
Yes.
Thank you so much, Janet. Thanks for your time. Thanks for putting together this beautiful show. I hope listeners can come see it. There's links to more information about that here. Thank you again, Janet. I appreciate your time and work.
Thank you. I really appreciate the time to talk with you. Thank you.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.